You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, September 1st, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome back to the show, and welcome to September. Oh my gosh, kids starting school all over the place, going back to college. And speaking of college, we got some new numbers from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. That comes out on September 1st. It's one of my favorite days in the drug war data mine year. So I didn't have enough time to go over all of the numbers. We'll give you a brief overview in the 420 radio news, but tomorrow I'll have my in-depth report on the latest numbers from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. It's also a momentous day today because Jeff Mazansky has been freed from prison. He is walking the streets now with his friends and family in Missouri. Show Me Cannabis was a big part of helping get him out. Dan Vietz from the Normal Board of Directors, an attorney who was very instrumental in helping the Jeff Mazansky case. And you, if you were one of the 400,000 people that signed on to his change.org clemency petition, we'll tell you more the details on that coming up in our Behind the Headlines segment. Jeff Mazansky free after 21 years in prison. After being sentenced to life without parole. Oh my God, an amazing story. Again, we'll get to that in Behind the Headlines. On the Drug War Data Mine segment today, we're going to talk about the framing around alcohol again. We talked about this the other day about how society can't understand that drinking alcohol is taking drugs. Well, today we take it a step further and show you it's not just taking drugs, it's taking hard drugs. We'll show you the data that makes that case. Also coming up on the show today at half past in the activist agenda, we're going to be visiting with Michael Minardi. He's with Regulate Florida, one of the groups that is working on marijuana legalization in the Sunshine State. And yes, I said groups, plural. We've got a news development in the 420 radio news on that front coming up as well. And then at the end of the show in the Radical Rant segment, I'm going to take you on a walkabout through the Northwest Cannabis Classic at the Tacoma Armory. We got to speak with all sorts of great vendors there, but I've picked a few out for this particular segment. We'll speak with the three amigos of marijuana. That's Jeff Lowenfels, Tom Alexander, and Jorge Cervantes. We've also got a worker for, I should say an activist working on clemency petitions for five other prisoners who are still behind bars for marijuana. We spoke with American Shaman. We spoke with the magazine Marijuana Venture, the laboratory The Workshop. We spoke with a grower called Mad Farmer and a lounge or a proposed lounge brand called Seattle Super Chronic Cafe. Perfect name for a marijuana cafe in Seattle. Then if you stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio will take your live calls at 84-420 Radio. That's toll-free, 844-207-2346. We're also going to get our daily Toker tune for the day, Electric Tuesday. And at the second half of the hour, we've got those three amigos of marijuana, Jeff, Tom, and Jorge, taking questions from the audience at the Northwest Cannabis Classic. It's all coming up next on The Russ Melville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, what's up? It's Herb Thrasher, and you're listening to 420 Radio. Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, producer of the fourth Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, the OMMBC. There have been a lot of recent changes to Oregon cannabis laws. Recreational sales start October 1st, new licensing from the state, and changes to medical marijuana. Are you prepared? Join us at the downtown Portland Hilton September 12th and 13th with the industry's top cannabis business experts, political leaders, exhibitors, and nightly networking events. For more information, join us online or give us a call. The OMMBC. Be part of history.
Expand your horizons and join us every Wednesday night for Gordon Green's Music Planet. You'll hear an eclectic mix of music from all around the world. Catch the first show of the month for an intro to world music. It's Gordon Green's Music Planet Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific with replays weekends at midnight on 420radio.org. Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. A man sentenced to life in prison without parole on a marijuana-related charge walked out of a Missouri prison a free man today after spending 2 decades behind bars. The release of Jeff Mazansky followed years of lobbying from family, lawmakers, and advocates for the legalization of marijuana, who argued that the sentence was too stiff. Mazansky was sentenced in 1996 after police said he conspired to sell 6 pounds of marijuana to a dealer connected to Mexican drug cartels. The life with no parole sentence was allowed under a Missouri law for persistent drug offenders. Mazansky already had 2 drug convictions, one for possession and sale of marijuana in 1984 and another for possession in 1991. Mazansky was the only Missouri inmate serving such a sentence for a nonviolent marijuana-related offense when Democratic Governor Jay Nixon agreed in May to commute his sentence. A political action committee called Floridians for Freedom, associated with a longtime marijuana advocacy group called the Florida Cannabis Action Network, announced Tuesday it has gotten state approval to begin petitioning for a marijuana legalization constitutional amendment. This comes on the heels of last week's announcement by Sensible Florida, a group allied with Florida Normal and Robert Platshorn's Silver Tour organization, of their petition drive for a legalization amendment. And these measures are distinct from another constitutional drive run by United for Care and led by Orlando lawyer John Morgan, making their second shot at passing medical marijuana. The language of the proposed amendment is short, quote, "All people in the state of Florida 21 years of age and older shall have the right under state laws to possession, use, and cultivation of cannabis. The right shall not be infringed except that the transfer of cannabis by purchase or sale may be regulated as necessary to ensure health and safety," end quote. College students in the United States are now more likely to smoke marijuana on a daily basis than cigarettes, as pot smoking rates continue to climb, according to the results of a nationwide survey released Tuesday. Marijuana use on campus has been on the rise since 2006, according to a series of studies by researchers at the University of Michigan, and the number of students who smoke pot daily is at its highest level since 1980, when data was first compiled. Nearly 6% of college students in 2014 reported smoking marijuana on a daily or near-daily basis, up from 3.5% in 2007. This comes as fewer students see pot as a health threat. Only 35% of high school graduates surveyed in 2014 said regular pot use is dangerous, down from 55% in 2006. About 1 in every 17 high school students uses marijuana on a daily or near-daily basis, according to findings released in December by the university. High Times Magazine on Monday withdrew its application for a potential Cannabis Cup location south of Portland, Oregon, in the city of Milwaukee. Amanda Younger, events director for High Times, said Tuesday that the publication decided to withdraw its application because of delays processing the application and logistical issues related to pulling together the event by early October. Younger said High Times had hoped to hold a scaled-down Cannabis Cup estimated at just 5,000 people, a much smaller turnout than the tens of thousands of people who attended a High Times Cannabis Cup in Denver this year. Plans for a Cannabis Cup announced shortly after Oregon voters said yes to legal marijuana last fall have hit several snags. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission won't allow cannabis consumption at venues that hold liquor licenses, complicating High Times' effort to pin down a venue. A 4,600-square-foot medical marijuana dispensary caught fire early Tuesday morning, weeks after a neighbor said someone tried to light the building on fire. More than 100 firefighters battled a blaze at the L.A. Mart Collective that an insurance adjuster on the scene estimated costs $250,000 in damage. No injuries were reported. On surveillance footage, no one is seen in the street or on the sidewalk outside of the building before the fire erupted, but neighbors report hearing an explosion before the smoke began to billow out the windows, and there is a back alley behind the building. Surveillance video taken about 3 weeks ago, between 3 and 4 a.m., the same time today's fire started, shows a man walking, getting out of a white truck and throwing a bottle-shaped object onto the roof of the building. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Maybe a strange way to open up this segment, but every day at lunch I walk a half-mile round trip to my local Subway sandwich shop, where I order either a turkey or ham on wheat 6-inch sandwich. I exchange the chips for apple slices, and I get the 5-calorie light lemonade to drink. And yes, I am a fat guy, inspired to eat less and exercise by the example of Jared Fogle. Well, not so much an inspiration anymore, though. As you know, Jared copped a plea in an investigation over Jared's possession of child pornography and crossing state lines to pay to rape minors. And by the way, CNN, you can't have sex with a minor. It's rape a minor. Thank you. As part of the plea deal, Jared will likely serve 5 to 12.5 years in prison. In other words, Jared might do less than half the time in prison as a 3-strikes nonviolent marijuana offender. As we announced earlier, Jeff Mazansky is being freed from a Missouri prison today after 21 years. When Jeff had completed his fifth year of incarceration, Jared was just coming to the public's attention as the obese college student who lost weight with Subway. Now, Jeff didn't do anything so heinous as rape a child. Jeff was a weed dealer. Not your shoot-em-up, bribe-cops, run-with-a-gang kind of dealer that cops want you to believe all of them are. Rather, Jeff was the guy. The guy that most longtime marijuana consumers eventually come to know. Laid back, easygoing, friendly, and able to get his hands on an ounce of weed if you wanted some. Well, in 1984, when Jared, by the way, was just 7 years old, Jeff was busted for selling an ounce to someone who gave it to a snitch who tipped off cops who then raided Jeff's house and found a half pound of pot. Strike one. In 1991, Jeff was busted again for possession of between 2 and 3 ounces of weed. Over 35 grams, which is about an ounce and a quarter, is a felony in his state of Missouri. Strike two. And in 1993, Jeff was busted a third time, but this time he was just driving someone else to a location to make a weed deal. Well, that turned out to be a sting operation, and that rideshare was enough to land Jeff a conspiracy charge, strike three. Now, Missouri has this law. It's called the Prior and Persistent Drug Offender Act. It's basically a three strikes law that allows the judge to sentence the convicted to time equivalent to a Class A felony, the harshest penalty below death. I mean, capital felony is as bad as it gets. Class A is number two. In 1994, Judge Theodore Scott sentenced Jeff Mazansky to life in prison for giving someone a ride to a weed deal because twice before, Jeff had been caught with over 35 grams of marijuana. No guns, no violence, no coercion, and most assuredly, no child porn or child rape. Life in prison. And as if that wasn't harsh enough, in a new trial ordered by the Missouri Court of Appeals in 1996, Jeff was convicted again and was again sentenced to life in prison by Judge Scott. And while the judge didn't mention without the possibility of parole in his oral sentencing, it got written that way in official documents that lawyers fought years to get resolved to no avail. Life in prison without the possibility of parole for marijuana. Now, the other men involved in the weed deal that Jeff's conspiracy charge was tied to, a deal that found 86 pounds of marijuana in their possession, well, those men were set free years ago, according to a heartfelt plea of clemency for Jeff written by his son Chris on a change.org petition. And remember that law, the Prior and Persistent Drug Offender Act? The Missouri legislature has repealed that, and that becomes effective January 1st, 2017. So after close to 400,000 petition signatures and pleas from about 126 Missouri lawmakers and the original prosecutor in Jeff's case, Governor Jane Nixon signed a petition for clemency for Jeff Mazansky. That allowed Jeff to go back and argue that he should get time served, he should be eligible for parole, etc. And this morning, he walked out of the Jefferson City Correctional Center a free man, finally able to meet the children and grandchildren who had been born while he sat in his cell, watching murderers, thieves, and rapists, like Jared Fogle, come and go doing far less time than him. Imagine Jared Fogle not walking out of a prison until 2036, instead of sometime in the next president's second term. Imagine a nation where child rapists get life without parole, instead of guys in Missouri doing what's legal with a license in four states now. I hope that the case of Jeff Mazansky resonates with the listeners out there and the people reading my words in the columns I'll be writing about him. And I hope that people understand that Jeff Mazansky's only one of quite a few prisoners, over a couple dozen, I believe, doing life for pot. Check out Life for Pot on the internet. Just Google Life for Pot and you can find these cases, visit the Human Solution International, THSINTL.org, the Human Solution. They work to help a lot of these prisoners who are behind bars. We're legalizing marijuana all across the United States. We got Ohio on the ballot, Nevada on the ballot, and another five or six states ready to go for 2016. But we cannot forget that in changing the laws for the present, that does not free the prisoners of the past. Make sure you're standing up to exonerate these men at the state and federal level, and women too, and get them free.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech?
Drug school.
It's 20 after the hour. That means it's 4:20 Denver time. And 5:20 in Missouri, I believe. Jeff, we're really, really glad that you are free. Thanks to everybody that worked so hard for so many years making this a reality.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Sundays at 8 p.m. Pacific for Stoner Jesus, podcasting at stonerjesus.net. One of the net's most popular marijuana comedy shows is very politically incorrect and certainly not safe for work, but also is absolutely hilarious. Check our online listings for Stoner Jesus with Stoner Jesus from stonerjesus.net.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Yesterday, I tried to shred the framing around drinking alcohol that portrays it as somehow different and separate from doing drugs. Today, let's think about the concept of hard drugs versus soft drugs and understand where exactly alcohol fits in that dichotomy. To most people, marijuana is considered a soft drug. This is a concept that arose in the Netherlands as they set up their famous coffee shop model for soft drug distribution. As the Dutch government's website puts it, quote, "Soft drugs such as marijuana and hash are less damaging to health than hard drugs such as ecstasy and cocaine. The Netherlands tolerates the sale of soft drugs in coffee shops and takes rigorous action to suppress the sale of hard drugs. By adopting this strategy, the government separates these two markets. Cannabis users are not obliged to buy their soft drugs from criminal dealers who might easily bring them into contact with hard drugs." End quote. I wish this was a little better understood in America. We've barely gotten a drug czar now who can admit that marijuana is not as dangerous as heroin. But among the people, marijuana, caffeine, and maybe even magic mushrooms are considered soft drugs. And heroin, meth, cocaine, PCP, LSD, ecstasy, and others are considered hard drugs because the public believes they're more dangerous to one's health. But how can we better define danger to health? And how would those definitions place alcohol within that mix? Well, first, death. If a drug can kill you immediately from its use, that should be an automatic qualifier for the hard drugs label. Yeah, cigarettes will eventually kill you, but you can't smoke enough nicotine at once to actually have a fatal overdose from it, like you can ingesting heroin or cocaine. Now, there's a pharmacological way of measuring this danger. It's something called the therapeutic ratio. You figure out how much of a drug it takes to get 50% of your test animals high, then you figure out how much it takes to kill 50% of them, right? So how much does it take to get half of them high versus how much does it take to kill half of them? And that makes a ratio. And the greater that ratio, the more dangerous the drug. And greater, you know, 1 out of 2 is a greater ratio than 1 out of 20, right? It's like fractions. So when it comes to heroin, the therapeutic ratio is about 1 to 6. If one dose gets you high, 6 doses can kill you, whatever your size of dose works out to be. Meth is about a 1 to 10, and cocaine is about a 1 to 15. So obviously, hard drugs, right? Magic mushrooms, and maybe surprisingly LSD, come in at about 1 to 1,000. You might trip balls, but you're not going to die. And marijuana? Marijuana comes in at about 1 to 20,000. So obviously, soft drugs. And alcohol? It's a 1 to 10 therapeutic ratio, like meth. How about addiction? A hard drug ought to be one that's hard to kick, one that can kill you through its withdrawal phase if you're not careful. So heroin, cocaine, and meth certainly fall within this category. Even if withdrawal can't kill you, some drugs are still terribly addictive, like nicotine and tobacco cigarettes, and then that addiction eventually kills you. Well, there's this 1994 study called the Comparative Epidemiology of Drugs, which is cited by the National Institutes of Drug Abuse, that tells us that about a third of the people who try tobacco become dependent on it. Almost a quarter of the people who try heroin become dependent on it. Yes, that's right. Cigarettes are more addictive than heroin. Cocaine cause dependence for about 1 out of 6. Stimulants like meth come in at about 1 out of 9. And marijuana was down at the bottom with caffeine, with about 1 out of 11 becoming dependent on the herb. And alcohol? It's about 15.4% user dependence rate, almost a little more than 1 out of 7. It's somewhere close to cocaine. How about the health effects? Everybody knows about the hard drug health effects, right? The junkie is a pale derelict who'll commit desperate acts to get a fix. The crackhead is twitchy and restless and ready to steal your bike. The speed freak is covered with sores and has bad teeth. Of course, heroin, coke, and meth are hard drugs. But in actuality, those stereotypes are the exception, not the rule. Remember the dependence rates that we talked about a second ago? Well, if 1 out of 3 that try heroin become dependent, doesn't that mean that 2 out of 3 don't? And for those who are addicted to these hard drugs, often the criminality of being a drug addict means unemployment and lack of health care and leads to desperate acts of crime. After all, Robert Downey Jr. was quite the addict back in the day, but he never ended up with rotten mouth and terrible skin, homeless and begging for change, because he's rich. But alcohol is unique among all the drugs we've been talking about regarding how it affects your body. LSD can warp your mind. Cocaine can ruin your nose and explode your heart, as can meth. Heroin can stop your lungs from breathing. But only alcohol excess can harm every single organ of your body. It kills brain cells, causes mouth, throat, and larynx cancer. It disrupts lung proteins that keep fluids out. It increases heart rate and blood pressure, destroys the liver, causes excess stomach acid, interferes with the kidney functions, reduces pancreatic function, damages the small and large intestine, and even dehydrates the skin. By every measure, marijuana is not only a drug, it belongs in the same class as hard drugs. No doubt about it. If you look at them objectively, alcohol may be the hardest drug out there. I don't know. I think I may still put heroin above alcohol, but not by much. And we're a society that's figured out that we can allow our citizens, our adult citizens, to enjoy
taking this hard drug and we want to punish them for using the softest one? It makes no sense. Stay tuned. When we come back, we've got Activist Agenda. Michael Minardi from Florida will be joining us. Regulate Florida, talking about marijuana legalization in the Sunshine State.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
At midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We go all the way down to the Sunshine State for today's activist agenda, where Michael Minardi is waiting on the phone for us. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and thanks for joining us. Regulate Florida, Sensible Florida, the group, is putting together a constitutional amendment. What can you tell us about your campaign? I mean, you just got started last week. What's new?
We did. We're underway. We're ready to go. We got our campaign out. Our media is starting, and we're getting petitions signed and sent in right now already and getting moving. So we're excited and getting this going.
Now, in the state of Florida, you're limited to doing constitutional amendments, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. So, it is a constitutional amendment that, much like when we first put prohibition on alcohol, that was a constitutional amendment, and then they repealed it by a constitutional amendment. So.
Right. And what we learned from last election in Florida is that you guys need to get a 60% vote total to pass a constitutional amendment. And with the medical amendment last year coming in at 58%, what gives you the hope that you can beat 60 with legalization?
Well, number one, this is a presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
So the voter turnout is going to be much greater. Number two, I think the climate in this country has continued to change towards legalization and towards regulated use over the past year, more dramatically than we expected, I think, in this country. So there's numerous states with other initiatives that are moving towards regulated type of adult use, and we think it's a smart policy choice to, one, help regulate it, keep it out of kids' hands, two, increase jobs in the state, and three, help build up our communities.
Absolutely. Michael Minardi with regulateflorida.org. You can check out their website. They got some information up there as well. Now, the website's Regulate Florida, but the group is Sensible Florida. Do I have that correct?
That is correct. Sensible Florida is the political committee that, you know, may go on and exist after the campaign. The campaign that we're talking about is Regulate Florida.
Okay.
That's what we want to do. We want to regulate Florida. This is already a million-dollar industry in the state. Underground, we want to bring it above ground, save money on law enforcement, and make money in jobs in the economy.
Well put. And, you know, speaking of millions of dollars, you know, the constitutional amendment campaign for 2014 in Florida, John Morgan and the United for Care people put $4 or $5 million into it. Sheldon Adelson, the billionaire from Nevada, put millions of dollars against it. Where's the money coming from for the Regulate Florida campaign?
Oh, we have numerous groups that are supporting us. You know, it is a collective effort. We don't have one single huge donor at this point in time that's putting up, you know, millions of dollars for it. But we have a great team. We have great supporters that were discussed in the press conference of who's behind us. You know, and I think as we continue to move forward and see the progression of Regulate Florida, we've already gotten a great response from people around the state of Florida, that we'll be able to meet the demands that we need.
But it is going to take millions of dollars to mount a campaign, and with John Morgan's group going for medical marijuana again in 2016, do you worry about diluting the possible pool of donations and volunteers?
You know, I don't really. A lot of the volunteers and people potentially maybe working on both initiatives. I know some of them have reached out to us for United for Care because they do support both initiatives. This is about progress of the plant. We are open to and probably in discussions with talking to United for Care about talking to them about supporting each other. We do support them and their initiative. We support medical as well as regulated adult use.
Let's talk a bit about the initiative and how, you know, some of the basics. You know, people want to know, can you grow your own? How much can you possess? Will there be pot shops? What are the taxes? You know, the basics. But also, how might this integrate with United for Care's amendment should both of them pass?
Well, if both of them pass, it will protect the patients as well. It will open up a dialogue between them and their doctors. It would still allow for, and this amendment doesn't affect and specifically provide that it wouldn't affect or interfere with any medical laws, including the current medical law that's on the books right now, the low THC bill. So this is for regulated use. This would allow, obviously, potentially in states like, you know, for example, Colorado, or states that don't have illnesses like PTSD or something like that on the list. If people or adults want to use it for that reason, you know, that would be up to them and their choice under our amendment. So it could make it a little bit broader for medical use because adults would have the right over 21 years old to be able to choose to use medical cannabis, you know, or use it for whatever reason they choose.
Now, what are some of the particulars of your amendment as far as possession amounts, being able to cultivate at home, tax rates, and so forth?
Correct. Well, we don't, for one, have a tax or anything in it. We, you know, we're going to leave that up to the legislature. That is something that they can determine and decide as to what the tax amount would be. And we'll obviously be, after the amendment is passed, lobbying for and trying to create, make sure that they create some sort of sensible tax. As far as personal growing, we do allow, and the amendment does permit people 21 or over to grow six plants, three of them mature per 21-year-old or plus per household. So a couple could technically grow 12 plants for themselves. We make sure, and one of the things we write in the amendment is to require it to be in a locked type sealed room so that children and other people wouldn't have access to it. So as far as those two aspects go, you're the Department of Business and Regulation who would be issuing licenses for, you know, all the different types of companies that would exist in the market, specifically the cultivation, retail facilities, manufacturing facilities.
All right. Sounds a lot like what we're seeing in some of the other states. I'm calling you from Oregon, and we've got somewhat a similar setup. Now, Michael, as I was preparing for the interview this morning, I get into my Google News feed and I hear tell of a marijuana legalization amendment for the state of Florida. But this is another one. This is Jody James, the Florida Cannabis Action Network, involved with another legalization amendment. There is a very short one that just gives people the right, 21 years and older, the right to cultivate and use cannabis. Do you have any statement on this new group coming out with, and have you spoken to them at any time?
Well, yes. I did speak with them prior to. I have been part of the advisory board of the Florida Cannabis Action Network for years. I did try to bring them on board with our amendment. We have some differences of opinion as far as what is needed in an amendment and what potentially could work for the state of Florida. We settled on as Regulate Florida, obviously, something with a little bit more regulations, something that takes it away from the legislatures in many respects, but does also give them power. I have obviously read it. I worked on in parts in reviewing that amendment, and I understand it. I think it is a little bit broad for the state of Florida. I think that it doesn't provide enough restrictions in it as far as what people are or are not able to do. And I also feel on the other end, it gives way too much power to the government and the legislature to regulate and determine how businesses will be established and things like that. So, I see some flaws in it as far as why I think Regulate Florida is a amendment that Florida needs that would be better for Florida in all aspects.
Yeah, it can be troublesome when you write something that's very vague and then expect the legislature to come up and, regulate that thing. You can look to California's 1996 Compassionate Use Act, where they're still lacking statewide regulations in their medical marijuana, for some guidance on that. We're speaking with Michael Minardi. He's with RegulateFlorida.org, which is a more comprehensive and substantial amendment that's being proposed for marijuana legalization in the state of Florida. Check out RegulateMarijuana.org for information on that. And Michael, what else should we know about the campaign or the amendment that maybe isn't getting enough play in the media?
Well, the important thing is it does also protect people's rights. It does allow or doesn't prevent any sort of drunk driving or anything like that. It would still be illegal under the state of Florida. So those types of worries that people are, most of the concerns that we hear from opposing people regarding changing the laws are, you're going to have all these people high driving on the street and the kids. We believe that based on evidence from Colorado and other states regarding sales to minors in a regulated market, they've shown success, 100% compliance in the state of Colorado to show that minors didn't get cannabis or access to it. And there's been no increase in use in those states. So that's really what this amendment is helping to do. Right now, as we all know, anybody can get cannabis. Any of the kids in states where it's illegal, drug dealers do not card, and we have to take it out of the hands and put it in the hands of legitimate businesses that do.
What do you think about the results that you're seeing out of Colorado and Washington State? The National Survey on Drug Use and Health was just released, says that the daily use by high school students and college students is at its greatest level since 1980. Do you worry about the numbers coming out of Colorado and Washington, or do they give you hope that it will help your cause?
Well, I think and you hope that it would. The benefits that they're seeing out of those states, I think, far outweigh any of the detrimental effects that we're seeing from the majority of studies consistently. I think there's a lot more positive coming out of it. The educational system is booming here. It's my understanding the construction projects that they're doing from schools, from tax revenue, there's a decrease in suicides, of anywhere from, 20 to 35%, the studies say. There's a decrease in opiate use. There's a decrease in fatal traffic accidents. So across the board, I think that they're showing the positive effect with little detriment on society that doesn't necessarily already exist. Because again, this isn't like a new substance that was just created like FLACA or something. So now we have a new phenomenon of this is something that's been around for thousands of years. It's been used recreationally for thousands of years in a regulated manner by adults of choosing. And in some countries is allowed and permitted. You know, the United States is just sort of running a little bit behind in this progression. We've shown in this country alone that prohibition doesn't work. It destroys lives, and it's continued to do so with the cannabis and the marijuana regulations in this country.
Well, Michael Minardi with RegulateFlorida.org, the Sensible Florida Campaign. You guys do sound pretty sensible. I like what you're saying there and wish you the best of luck. I assume you've got a Facebook page as well people can check out?
Yeah, we have our Facebook page is Regulate Florida. And we actually, it's RegulateFlorida.com.
Oh, .com. I've been saying .org this whole time. Yep. My apologies.
Yeah, I think they both go to that landing site. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael Minardi, for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. And like I say, good luck, and I'll see you in Florida soon.
Russ, thank you very much. Nice talking to you, and thank you for all you do. Okay, appreciate it.
Stay tuned, folks. When we come back, we got more highlights from the Northwest Cannabis Classic in Tacoma, Washington.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
I get angry just thinking about it makes me mad. Little kids doing drugs, it turns my stomach. That stuff hurts. It stops you from living up to your potential. It holds you back. It hurts the user. It hurts his family. And it hurts his friends. I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and think about using. So remember, don't, or else. Okay?
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Herb Thrasher, and I've got a bong, and you're listening to 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
We return you to the Tacoma Armory this last Saturday for the Northwest Cannabis Classic.
As we move to this area, we of course have the Three Amigos.
Hey.
It's the Three Amigos there, getting ready. Say hi to everyone. Tell me your name.
Hey, Jeff Lowenfels. How you doing? Yeah, nice to see you again.
Tom Alexander from Sensimilla Tips.
That's right.
And then, of course, over here.
Yeah, Jorge Cervantes from here.
Jorge right and here. I are refugees of the Snake River Valley, where the summers are hot and the cops are mean.
That's right. The men are men and the sheep are nervous.
So I guess I'm moderating a panel with the three of you guys coming up pretty soon.
That's right.
Yeah. Tomorrow afternoon.
Looking forward to that. We got plenty of examples of Jorge's Cannabis Encyclopedia, the new book. How's the sales going on that book?
Well, really good, really good. I'm very pleased with the sales. It's only been out for 3 months, and this is the sequel to my last book, Marijuana Horticulture. The last book sold over 1 million copies, and I'm sure this book will top it because it's twice as big and twice as much information, and it's new.
There you go. It's full color. It's beautiful. And then over here, Jeff Lowenfeld's books, Teeming with Nutrients and Teeming with Microbes. How the sales going on this? And
well, this one's been the 15th printing, translated into 7 languages, Teeming with Microbes. Guaranteed, anybody who buys it, doesn't like it, I'll buy it back at 3 times the price. Teeming with Nutrients is the 2nd in the series. I got 3. The 3rd one is going to be Teeming with Mycorrhizal Fungi. And I am now officially calling myself Lord of the Roots, because I have a trilogy.
Lord of the Roots, right on. Let's get a photo with these fellas here. Marijuana is safer than alcohol. How you doing today?
All right, Russ, how you doing, brother?
Fantastic. And is it just a safer booth, safer church?
I'm helping a little bit of everybody up locally. Safer is Jared Alloway, who I got his shirts here. And I'm also helping out Sherry Sicard and Chris LaFleur getting 5 signatures or 5 letters of clemency for 5-year prison locked up for life. It's made a difference. Like with Randy Lanier, they made a difference. And we're advocating, if I can get any funds, which I haven't because I suck at it, but the signatures is the important one. You know, this is going to make a difference, I think. That's very helpful.
Well, let me help you out with some signatures here.
Awesome, man.
I'll tripod out so I can do it.
So it's like registering a vote, name, address, and a signature.
All right, you got it.
Right on, brother.
Let's sign up. Help free the pot prisoners. That's something, everybody's so interested in making money on the green rush, they forget there's still people in prison that we need to take care of. So let's get these signatures taken care of. All right, feel like we've done our good deed for the day. Signing 5 petitions for clemency for 5 different prisoners still serving time in our prisons. We've got, I'm so glad to see these guys here. It's CBD American Shaman. The big thing happening in medical, everybody's starting to understand about CBD. Can you guys tell us a little more about your company?
So American Shaman, basically what we've done is it's a company based on purely CBD products that have under 0.03 THC, which are distributable throughout all states in the United States. It's a way to get a high quality product. The refining process is from a pharmaceutical side. So what we've done is try to get a product we can get to anybody to help manage pain and inflammation. Because CBD is one of the more efficient cannabinoids, we're just hoping to get more information out there in the education process. So right now we're in the information stage, education stage, but we happen to have a product that works to back it up.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's AmericanShaman.net, and you can email don'tpanicitsorganic@live.com. Look at all of these tinctures, all these different CBD bottles that are available. Pretty amazing stuff. Let's get some photos of this stuff. Let's move over here with Marijuana Venture. How you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
There are so many magazines nowadays. Tell us about Marijuana Venture and what makes you different.
We're actually just a business-to-business magazine. It's all about industry stories. Basically, we cover a lot of legal issues across the country. If you need any products or anything like that, people that advertise, whether it's groves, greenhouse, uplighting, or even attorneys that will help you out and get your business started, business license, accountants, that kind of stuff. Anything that's industry related, that's what we're all about, trying to help businesses get going across the country.
That's great. How long have you been around? How many issues are out?
We've been out since March of 2014, and we've gone from 8 pages with a folded newsletter kind of thing to 160 pages. In 18 months.
That's
and
amazing growth.
We get out about a little over 12,000 issues out, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Hastings, and a bunch of independent bookstores too. So
people are going to find this other than head shops and the typical places. They're going to find it Barnes & Noble and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're getting in a lot of independent bookstores too. So even the hipster stores, college towns, that kind of stuff, they're going to be picking up our stuff. And we're going to get in libraries, public libraries. That's a big deal. So hopefully we'll get some free word out.
So is it marijuanaventures.venture.com if they want to get in touch with you?
Absolutely, marijuanaventure.com.
All right, let me get a photo and we'll talk. Good. Hold up one of the magazines there. All right, continuing on here, we have the workshop. Here's the guys from the workshop. Hey, what's happening?
How you doing? Tell people about the workshop.
Well, the workshop, we do processing. We do analyzing of your material. We can do pretty much whatever you want, as long as you're medical, for now.
Right, it's going to take a while. Here's got an example. Cannabiseutical facts for a Jupiter OG. Ooh, very nice.
We could take your poo and make it into this if you like.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
There's zero PGVG added. It's just straight cannabis goodness.
That's great. So we got Delta 9 THC, THCA, CBG, CBGA, CBD, CBN, and then terpenes, caryophyllene, myrcene, limonene, valencine, and humulene.
A huge number more. Yeah. Of the terpenes, we'll use certain techniques like GCMS to analyze your strain and tell you its terpene content, and maybe you can regenerate that as flavoring in your concentrates, for example.
So we're medical only. Is that just here in the state of Washington? Which states are you in?
Right now, it's just Washington, and then we have a lab in California.
So the workshop is with a C, W-E-R-C. You can check it out at theworkshop.com. Phone number here in Washington is 310-703-9567. Thanks, guys, for showing up.
Hot Box Podcast, too.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Continuing on. We have Mad Farmer here. How you doing, Mad Farmer?
What's up, 420 Radio? How you guys doing?
Great. Tell us about your products.
Well, Mad Farmer, we are a additive company out of Humboldt, California. Might have heard of us. Basically, what we're doing at this point is just additives. So it's not your bread and your water, which you need to survive. This is going to be your filet mignon with sautéed mushrooms and grilled onions. You don't have to have that to survive, but you're going to be a hell of a lot happier if you do. We do actually have a base nutrient on the way. We're just waiting on the label. But yeah, at this point, we got a bunch of additives. It's just going to make your garden a hell of a lot happier than it was before.
You know, there's a lot of concern these days about pesticides, herbicides, contaminants, all, you know, not being organic and all of that. How do these products stack up as far as purity?
Well, all of our products, if it's not an organic product, it's a food grade product. So our synthetics, any synthetics that we do make are food grade. So what that means is that they're going to be more accessible to your plant, they're going to be cleaner, and they're going to be less harmful to the environment.
That's really cool. All right, is there a website people can check out?
Absolutely. Check us out at www.madfarmerproducts.com.
All right, let me get a photo and we'll call it good. Looks like it's the Seattle Super Chronic Cafe. Can you tell us about the cafe a little bit?
Hi.
Can you tell us about the cafe?
Yeah, Seattle Super Chronic Cafe is, due to the fact that it's a felony, we have to kind of be on the move. So it's a mobile facility that we can kind of cater to anybody's needs, essentially just catering and events planning.
Wow, and yeah, with that new felony law, that's got to make things a little dicey, huh?
Makes things a little rough. I'm kind of a cannabis refugee having to go back to Portland just to do business. So this is a good idea, good place to showcase what we could do in theory if it weren't a felony.
Yeah, this is something that the legislators are going to have to understand, is that the unintended consequences of not having pot lounges are worse than what they could imagine a pot lounge would be, don't you think?
Absolutely. People are sitting there smoking on the streets, they're in their cars, but they don't realize that there's people that need it, people that are with government-subsidized housing, for example, that have MS that can't go somewhere.
They
keep going about tourists, but it's local people. It's people like myself that don't have a place to go that would like to. If your landlord won't let you smoke, if there's a government facility that won't allow it, those people really need it. Cancer people, you know, MS. It doesn't matter what debilitating disease you have. There should be a facility where you can go and medicate with friends to have safe, legal access. And Seattle Super Chronic Cafe should be that bar that we can set. So I'm working on it.
Yeah, and I like what you got here. You've got the mixing going on. You've got beautiful couches, really relaxed kind of atmosphere. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they?
Yep.
Well, that's the Seattle Super Chronic Cafe, and that gentleman we were speaking to later on Sunday led a procession of 30 of us out to a 20-foot U-Haul truck. We all got into the back, and we hotboxed that thing with a 16-gram joint. It was about a foot long, smeared with 6 grams of cannabis oil. If they won't let us have a cannabis lounge, by God, we'll find a private place to enjoy ourselves, and we sure did.
But that's all the time we got for our podcast listeners. Thanks for joining us, but join us live sometime. You can stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. In Toker Talk Radio today, we've got our daily Toker tune from Electric Bob, bringing us some more original electronic music. And in the last half hour, we listen to the three amigos of marijuana cultivation taking questions from the audience. For everyone here at Roller J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.